Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Onana will no longer be Manchester United number one.
Madueke will finish this season with more goal involvements than Obama. Gyökeres will get 12 or less Premier League goals this season.
Joshua Zirkzee is getting 10 goals, 10 assists.
Casemiro is top three players of the season.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the long-awaited return of the Red and White Chalkboard podcast. I'm pretty sure I said that on the last one, but this time I mean it again. It's me, your host, Cormac, with my co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how have we been?
It's great to be back. I think I said the exact same thing last time myself. Been too long, and boy, is there so much football. We purposely haven't spoken about any football since
we've been holding it in.
We've been strong. How's your summer been, Cormac?
It's been really nice. For those who live in London, it's been uncomfortably hot at times. It's cooled down a little bit this week, which is actually kind of welcome. But it's been delightful. Just come back from a trip to Spain with some mates. Went to Barcelona. Went to a town outside called Stiges.
Nice.
The gayest place on the planet, and had an absolute blast. What about you? You've just come back from a big old trip, haven't you?
Yeah, so Pamela and I, my partner, we went to Guatemala, and we spent 2 weeks out in Guatemala. Hence the awesome jersey.
Repping
the nation that treated us so well. For 2 weeks, we ate a lot of food, we hiked a volcano, we just did so much cultural immersion. It was great, different world out there. And yep. You know what? Different world, but everyone still loves football.
Absolutely.
Which is the best thing about the world.
It's a language that can be spoken anywhere.
Anywhere. And my Spanish only gets me so far, but my Spanish relating to football gets me even further. So we had a fantastic time, beautiful country, 100% recommend it if anyone's thinking about going. Shout out Guatemala if any of you are listening.
I'm sure we have a big fan base over there now.
They should do after I've been there and told everyone about this podcast. So yeah, great trip. And yeah, it's good to be back. Good to be sat back in this sofa talking about the things
what else
we love most. So
absolutely.
I think we should get into it. There's so much to talk about.
There is so much to talk about. And obviously the big thing with summer and football is transfers. And this has been, I think, in recent memory, I don't know if there's always recency bias, but one of the more exciting summer transfer windows in terms of kind of going into it, the possibilities, the kind of the way the season finished, kind of all the different teams and their own little narratives going on, and how I think probably every team in some respect in the Premier League had to spend a good amount of money on something. And there was, you know, especially the striker crisis that all these teams are having, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But obviously we do have two main focuses on this podcast, which is Man United and Arsenal, for better or for worse. We'll start with Man United though. A few big signings already been announced. So Cunha and Mbeumo being the main two. Mm. Taylor, give us a quick outline, or not quick, we've got plenty of time, an outline on Man United's transfer window so far.
Okay, so Manchester United's transfer window so far consisted of the transfer window opening and Manchester United activating the £62.5 million release clause for Mateus Cunha from Wolverhampton Wanderers. That was as easy as we like. And
that was always coming, wasn't it, as well? That was kind of towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
was kind of
that was known for a good 6 weeks prior to the window opening. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a fantastic signing to get us out of the traps. But then actually, unfortunately, I think it slapped Manchester United back in the hand slightly, because when Liam Delap signed for Chelsea with his £30 million release clause, someone who I advocated strongly for on this podcast.
Yeah, big fan.
And it seemed as though Manchester United were battling and rivaling Chelsea for his signature. Lost, obviously, because we've seen Delap in a Chelsea shirt. And it meant that Manchester United had to turn to their alternative attacking target, which was very exciting. Brian Mbeumo, 6 weeks ago when it was first delivered by various news outlets, that Brian Mbeumo had said that he only wants to join Manchester United, which I found a huge surprise.
You listen, I know we laugh about United because they finished 15th and they're 15th?
We did. Finished 15th.
Embarrassing. And they're a mess of a club from top to bottom at the moment. However, as painful and as shite as it is, this is Manchester United, as Gary Neville would say.
United, and
you can still pay a good chunk of money.
But sadly, what hindered us in the negotiations with Mbeumo is that because we paid the £62.5 million release clause for Cunha, Brentford all of a sudden was saying, well, our guy's got five more goals in the Premier League. He's had statistically better numbers over the past few years than Cunha. We would expect more money to be paid for him. And then as Manchester United dwelled, I think their first bid was £45 million plus £5 million in add-ons.
Yep.
I think Brentford really got offended by that and really dug their heels in. We saw their sporting director come out and say, you know, we'll keep him if we want. He might be all right with staying and everything. And that kind of just angered Manchester United, I think. And there was a lot of standoff, and there was 3 weeks where there was no communication between the clubs whilst everyone was sitting around waiting for something to happen. And during that three-week period, Manchester United thought, well, silence might, you know. And then it came out Tottenham were interested. Thomas Frank obviously had moved across. Tottenham had just brought Kudus for 50 million. We'd just seen, who else? Gittins moved for 50 million. Madueke moved for 50 million. All of a sudden, Alanga 55. And all of a sudden, we saw Brentford's hand strengthening. And they were able to get up to a total package, which was finally agreed and signed and announced yesterday or Monday, whenever you guys are listening to this, that Brian Mbeumo has signed a 5-year contract, £70 million, X amount of add-ons, and I, for one, am super excited. And now it's all about outgoings, but I'll come back to outgoings in a bit when we're talking generally. But so the two players that Manchester United brought in scored 35 Premier League goals last season. Manchester United as a team scored 41.
That's hilarious.
So we are...
Great start.
Yeah, great. And we are therefore essentially almost doubling our output if everything was to happen in a perfect world, which is exactly what we needed. This team finished 15th. Every single person is replaceable because if you're finishing 15th, there is obvious room for improvement everywhere.
No one's safe.
So it doesn't really matter what we decide to do. It's just as long as we're bringing in Premier League proven players, which obviously seems to be the strategy, which is quite exciting, and now very much focused on outgoing. So I'm going to flip you around. Arsenal, give us...
Well, do you want to stay on Man United for a second while we're on Man United?
Happily.
While we're on Man United, we can talk about, I guess...
Anything you want, mate.
Anything. Let's say, what other positions do you think you're going to be looking for?
We need three more signings for the remainder of this summer. We need a new goalkeeper.
Yep.
We need a new deep-lying centre mid.
Yep.
And we probably need... Well, we almost definitely are going to be also buying a striker. So they're the three positions that Manchester United are going to be looking to be strengthening. Onana has got a hamstring injury. Doesn't look too serious. But I still think the club want to buy a goalkeeper. Very, very intense rumours, especially today with the Belgium goalkeeper, Lammens, I believe is his name. I'm so sorry if I got that wrong. Plays for a team in Belgium. Highly rated, 23 years old. Wouldn't cost that much money, 14 million.
Is that what you want though, is it?
I'll take anything.
I can't have to come in and put the Man United goalkeeper kit on because like, I think all the kind of punt, Gary Neville especially, is like, I think it's like one of the hardest positions in the world is the Man United goalkeeper because you are going to be scrutinised like no other.
I'd like to think if they are going to bring a new goalkeeper in, they've really scouted someone beyond belief and like have character referenced him and have...
Are we talking about the same Man United?
I would love to say that. But the goalkeeper is going to be interesting because I think that's going to be something filled. I'd like it filled now because someone, if they're coming in, to compete with Onana, you need Bayindir to go and you need him time to settle in. There was a couple of youth goalkeepers who are maybe thinking about pushing, but they've all been loaned out, so we're gonna have to sign a goalkeeper, who isn't Tom Heaton for a year extension.
Bring him back. He played the other day, didn't he, in Sweden?
He did. And then the next position, the CDM position, this where it gets a bit interesting because apparently they've been monitoring several, but I can't really pick a name out the hat as who they have been interested in. Obviously, like we spoke previously on this podcast about how someone like Carlos Blaber, for example, who would just be 100% unattainable in this window.
Well, he's a 100 million player, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Which is crazy to say, considering he's had one very good season at Brighton.
That's true.
But that's just...
He actually played in the same team, the same Lille team as Lenny Yoro. When Lenny Yoro is 16 and Carlos Blaber was...
Agent Yoro, what do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm pretty sure Yoro and Manu were hanging out with Mbeumo before he signed during the summer. So who's to say, eh? Who's to say? Definitely not me. But my rogue choice taking into consideration Manchester United's diabolical financial situation,
beautiful,
would be the recently relegated Wilfred Ndidi from Leicester.
That is an interesting one. And he's such an interesting player to me.
He is. He's the lost man, I feel.
He's always felt like he's been one signing away, because he was almost considered the best kind of defensive midfielder just before Rodri kind of came on. And
He was like one of those where people were thinking about spending 40 to 50 million pounds. I'm pretty sure Arsenal were heavily linked. But now, I mean, you could
probably... He really fell off a cliff, though.
No, but did he?
I think he did. That, not the season just got... I think he was fine last year, even though Leicester was shite. But that season they went down, I remember watching, and it did feel like he just lost that step, and that caught them sharp.
Lost a bit of fire and hunger of staying in the same team when you're, if you're linked with these massive moves and you stay where you...
Why did he never make that move?
Maybe Leicester just didn't... Maybe bids came in, Leicester never accepted them, and then he ended up staying. And
everyone else kind of passed on, didn't they, in Leicester? You know, Madison left, obviously Kante,
Chilwell.
So I don't know, it just feels a bit like what was missing.
But I think you'd probably get him for like 15 mil, and I feel like that's...
You're probably getting less than that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know.
And for someone, we just need legs, we need someone who's tall, able to like take the ball.
Is he like Uncle Casemiro though? Is that what he's got written all over him? He got two...
He's younger than them. I feel like he's 28. Is he 27? He's young, he's not old, he's not 30. I could be really wrong. but that would be like my bankruptcy choice, essentially, just because we need bodies. And then finally moving on to the striker position, this is where it all gets really horrible, because
all the strikers are on the way out now.
Well, all the strikers that we're linked with in the current moment just aren't doing it for me. I'll rattle them off. Benjamin Sesko, he's a fraud weighing and happening. He's one of those who plateaued. He started off really hot, and I feel like he's plateaued.
There's a good player in there somewhere, but not what Man United need right now.
That's just how I need. Already have one 22-year-old striker who is struggling to find form. We just do not need another one. Nicholas Jackson, which actually is probably one of my more favourable choices.
I don't hate it. Which is concerning, really.
Manchester United rhetoric online is going angry about Nicholas Jackson.
Whatever.
But if we're living in a world where Chelsea are interested in Garnacho and there's some kind of financial wheeling and dealing, I ain't against it. And then moving on to, again, probably my absolute favourite option would be Ollie Watkins. But again, how attainable would that be?
Well, you're saying that how attainable, I mean, he would want to move. And I think he's at that point of his career, isn't he? If he's going to leave Villa, he wants Champions League football and he wants that kind of...
So why would he move to Manchester United? I don't think any of the teams who are playing Champions League...
Well, no one needs him now.
Unless Newcastle was to sell somebody.
We'll come back to that.
And then in terms of other options, obviously we'll get to the main one, which is no longer an option. I just feel like... Again, bankruptcy option. Jamie Vardy's available on a free transfer. Bring the boys back together.
So you're going to sign half of that Leicester relegated team?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is sadly where Manchester United are. We haven't got the funds. And until we sell the four most unsellable blokes in the world...
The boys. Well, speaking of one of them, that's a good segue. Looks like he's just about to join Barcelona.
Signed his contract, ladies and gentlemen.
Marcus Rashford is going on a season-long loan with an option to buy of 30 million, I think. €30 million. Barcelona saw as well, are paying all his wages.
He's took a wage reduction.
Interesting.
Of, I think he was roughly...
$325,
yeah. And now he's gone down to about $275.
How's he going to survive?
I know.
For little he goes.
Yeah. God. So, interesting. I'm happy that he's got the move that he oh so desperately wanted.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been clinging for this move for seasons now.
Yeah.
He obviously helped that his probably... One of his best games for Manchester United came against Barcelona in the Europa League, three seasons ago now?
Yeah.
Interesting, everything fell into place for him. Neco Williams, obviously, was about to join Barcelona.
So we might not be able to register you.
Yeah, and then he was like, well, I don't want to not do that. I need a clause in there. If you can't, I can leave. And then he ended up signing a 10-year contract. Which
is a shame. Not a shame, actually. It's very exciting.
Actually, it's very nice because there's not often... times now where you see players kind of stick to where they come from. Athletic Bilbao treat their players fantastically, pay them extremely well.
Money now,
big money. He's on
$300,000 almost, is he?
Yeah, literally. He's on good money. So that is quite interesting. So the doors open up for Marcus Rashford to get it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where he plays. I think he'll play it through the middle.
I was going to say, is he kind of going to be... Because obviously Lewandowski is still... I think still an elite level striker. He's not maybe prime Lewandowski, but he's still... He's got 35 goals last season, and he's still I think when I've watched him, which isn't loads, but when I have watched him, he still looked great. He's not going to start on the left, is he? Because that's Rafinha.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to start on the right, because that's just not... He hates playing on the right, and he can't really. So I'm assuming he's going to be kind of like a rotation option.
Yeah, I think he's going to start the season on the bench. I think, unless he hits a fantastic vein of form, lots of goals or assists.
You've got Fran Torres there as well. He's probably a similar...
Danny Olmo. They got tons of attacking options.
How are Barcelona doing this?
Barcelona are doing something. I don't know what...
dodgy dealings.
And for legal reasons, I won't try and explain.
I dare you to come after us, Barcelona. We need the publicity.
But... I can almost guarantee they have fantastically well-paid accountants.
Yeah.
Because the...
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Deals that they have managed to pull off. They're going to see a lot of Ter Stegen out in the newspapers that he wants to leave when he most definitely won't. But so
he's owed however much money as well.
Yes, he's been confirmed. And then obviously we've got the remainder of the bomb squad.
Just go back to, Rashford really quick. I feel quite sad about that Rashford transfer as a football fan. I know, again, I'm not emotionally connected to Man United in any way, shape or form, and other than kind of generally negative. But seeing, obviously, kind of a once great academy player who came through, scored two goals, I think, against Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And through Man United's up and down, especially over the last recent years, up until probably about two seasons ago, he was always kind of one of your remaining lights. And then since kind of beginning of Ten Hag...
Mm-hmm.
It just, he got his penalties taken off him, didn't he? He had like free kicks taken off him.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, I don't think they ever really treated him how he wanted to be treated, essentially.
It's polarizing. Manchester United gave him a contract where he's getting treated just fine.
Mm.
When he's not a problem, he's fantastic. When he becomes a problem, i.e. he doesn't want to press or...
Well, he does. That's going to be
an issue. No, yeah. And if he doesn't want to press or he's not in the best of moods or if he's not physically at it as much... He becomes so much more of a liability for the team. So it's not optically, it's horrible to see Manchester born and bred academy player who's come up and, you know, almost is in the top 10 goal scorers all time for Manchester United, 27 years old, prime years of his career, like 2 years into a mega money contract, which was meant to take him through to the end, essentially. It's come to this point, but also... Everyone involved has their own part to play in why that has happened. And Ruben Amorim has very quickly realised if he doesn't make swift, desperate, dramatic changes, he's going to be sacked by November. And it's...
Ruben Amorim. I think you've got to do what you've got to do.
You've got to do what you've got to do, which is exactly what he's done. Yeah. And he's looked to Rashford for whatever reason and thought, you ain't giving me what I want. This is the chance for Amorim in his career to make it or break it as a coach. Because look, if he mashes this up... He's going to struggle to get a good job anywhere. It's just what happens to Manchester United coaches.
Well, I don't know. I look at Ten Hag now.
I know he's at Bayer Leverkusen, but they just got smashed by the Flamengo under-20s 5-0. So...
And it looks like they're losing their star player to Sunderland. Granit Xhaka, that is, by the way, folks.
Yeah. Star player to an English Premier League team. And that is Granit Xhaka to Sunderland. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, but... Like I say, all the incomings for Manchester United are critically dependent on the outgoings.
The other kind of bomb squad being Antony, Garnacho, and...
Malacia, and the aforementioned freedom fighter, Jadon Sancho.
Jadon Sancho. How did I forget Jadon Sancho?
Jadon Sancho.
That's going to be one to get rid of.
Jadon Sancho will not be going anywhere for so long.
No, he's running out his contract at Man United.
He's going on loan.
And you guys are paying 60% of his wage.
100%. No one's buying him. All this talk about Juventus almost sealing it, it's a lie.
Juventus are the most, I'm never going to sign that player, but I'll let you link. It's a bit like Arsenal, to be honest.
If Manchester United have a problem player, he'll just get linked to every Italian club ever, and then no one will ever buy him. It's just how it goes. And then watch this space, he'll just get loaned out to Turkey after the like transfer window closes and no one else has bought him.
Good stuff.
So, big up him. Hope he's happy. And but that's enough for Manchester United, I think. The outgoing, we'll talk about more ingoings once some outgoings have happened.
Yes, exactly. Well, there's going to be plenty more to talk about.
Yeah. But I think now's a great chance for us to touch on Arsenal and their interesting transfer business that they've conducted so far this season.
Yep.
Not so many outgoings, but some very interesting incomings.
Yep. So we'll start with kind of like shorter. So it looks like we did mention it. Jokeres, as of today, which is Tuesday, has been given the here we go by the Lord and Savior Fabrizio Romano of Twitter. That's kind of the worst kept secret in football. Arsenal need the number nine, shock. I'm happy with Jokeres. I think he's probably the best option of the bunch, I think he kind of makes the most sense for Arsenal. He's not going to win us the league. He's not going to be the difference between, you know, second and first. He's on his own. I think if he comes in and scores 15 goals, I think that's a good season. I don't think Arsenal play in the style or in the way that we're going to have one player that's going to be pushing 30 Premier League goals or anything like that. I think he's a big body, which is great. I think he can work on the counter, which would be great against kind of the top team, especially kind of come Champions League level and things like that. The only thing that does concern me ever so slightly is, again, I haven't watched him week in, week out. I've watched a bunch of, obviously, goal compilations, as we all have. Most of his goals do come in those transition spaces. And obviously, probably 90% of Arsenal's goals, maybe 95% of Arsenal's goals, are playing it bound, kind of technically, playing it through, trying to break down the defences, doing all that, passing it round, passing it to fucking number five.
Terrible.
And flying over the bar, you know, something like that. I do think he has the technical ability to be able to handle that kind of thing. And I think given time, he'll be able to adapt. I think it's going to be really interesting watching him play. And 63 million euros, I think.
You've got great payment terms.
Exactly.
Considering how much Sporting were annoying everyone by like...
I know, but he threw his toys out the pram, didn't he? He did not want to be at Sporting next season. Which is a shame because Lisbon is a lovely city.
It is a lovely city. He moved to London, which is also the lovely best city in the world.
That's it. That's really exciting. We needed a nine. It'll be interesting without Havertz. I mean, we do laugh and joke about Havertz, but he's also kind of pivotal to the way Arsenal play football a lot of the time.
It's the reason why your number nine will never score 20, 30 goals.
Exactly.
It's because you need a player like Kai Havertz.
Who's going to press like crazy. You can play cute little passes, which Arteta loves. And really just link up, you know, the play. But that is exciting, Jokeres, and I think that would be really fun to watch.
He might enable other players to do
that. I think so. I think he will. Kind of being a threat down the middle, I think will allow the likes of Saka, Odegaard as well, when he kind of presses, goes out to the right like he does. I think that will be it's nice to have another threat, goal threat in the middle. And I think he will be that. Really boring one quickly, Zubimendi. Again, that's been going on for however long.
But that might be maybe the most important.
It's definitely, he's coming in to start. He is a starting
operator.
He is an operator. He is, as far as I'm concerned, an excellent football player.
Mm-hmm. I love excellent football
players. He's just really easy to watch. Just beautiful passer. Can move the ball really well. He's going to allow Rice to do what he does well when he gets the ball and carries it.
Mm-hmm.
I think him, Rice and Odegaard as a midfield three is very exciting. And I think, you know, could be up there.
Agreed.
One of the best midfielders in the league, if not the best midfielder in the league. It'll be interesting to kind of see how he adapts, because obviously kind of going from the speed of La Liga into the Premier League. But I have no doubt that he has that kind of
capability. He's the type of player where the difference in speed probably won't affect him, because he just almost plays his own game.
Exactly. He's that far ahead anyway. But that's very exciting. Again, we've spoken about that. It's kind of been going on forever. The most contentious signing, however, that we have made so far is Madueke from Chelsea to Arsenal. The 11th Chelsea player we have signed in the Premier League era, by the way. Because Kepa also has come in this season. He was number 10, which he might be signing in the season. But Madueke for 52 million, I think, with add-ons. There has been a change. Is it change.org? The petition website. Basically, there's been a petition that has been signed with over 5,000 signatures to overturn that.
So, I mean, it has to be debated in Parliament.
Yeah, almost. Well, you only need another 95,000 to go.
Okay.
But I think, personally, I think this is a good signing.
Why?
I don't think he's coming. I think he's depth. I think he's coming for squad depth. I think we've been crying about Saka backup for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He is that. He is now another right winger that we have in the club. He can play on the left. He is left footed. We don't traditionally play. I mean, we can't. You know, everyone does kind of inverted wings, etc., etc. But he can play on the left. We need someone on the left. I think we're not done yet with signings. I think obviously Eze has been someone we've heavily linked with.
But he doesn't play on the left.
He does. He plays down the middle, but he can play on the left as well. I think Madueke is a good signing. We need someone who can carry the ball into the final third, who can make passes. He did have, I believe the stat was one of the worst XG conversions in the league last season.
But that's never a...
XG is also kind of bollocks.
No, but underperforming your XG dramatically means you can almost only get better, which is better.
Very true. I think he's a good signing. I think the reason there's been such backlash online, I think a lot of that is because... we were expecting like a Rodrigo or someone to come in this season. We hadn't yet announced a striker, which we still haven't, but we, you know,
yeah.
He was the first attacking signing that we'd made so far. And that was something that was really shouted about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he isn't an out and out left winger, which I think is what everyone was expecting from Arsenal. But I do think he's a good signing. I think he is expensive, but Alang is 50 million fucking... Kudus was 50 million. Kudus for 50 million, I think, personally, stinks. He was awful last year. Do you disagree with that as well?
I'm disagreeing. You haven't convinced me.
Oh, God. Well, what's your go on then? What are your thoughts?
Firstly, I hate it when you spend 50 million on a player and he's a debt signing, because that's a huge outlay on a...
It's not anymore, though. That's the thing.
But it still is.
He's a first team rotation player. He's not playing in League Cup games and nothing else.
No, I know, but... He's, I understand it. He's now got England caps. I think the thing I hate the most about this is you're enabling Chelsea. And that's what really angers me. Actually, it's not that I don't mind the signing. I just think it didn't make the most sense.
If we signed him for 28 million, you'd be like, oh,
that's it.
Solid
sign. By signing him 52 and Chelsea having signed him for 25,
yeah.
It's like double profit. And I'm just like, they didn't need that. How did they do this? Like, the thought of the fact that Madueke is going to go for more money than Garnacho just boils my blood, because...
Twice the player, that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
I like Madueke. I don't know if I've ever said on this podcast, I might have even slagged him off on this podcast, but I've always liked Madueke. I think he's direct. I think he... When I've watched him on the left, I feel like he has that capability to put a good ball in. I think he is a solid player, and I think he is a good signing. Again, I somewhat understand a bit of the backlash, but I also think people need to grow up. And also, I do trust Arteta. Like, he's had a lot more hits than he's had misses in his time at Arsenal with signings. Mm.
I just really don't like the Madueke signing.
I think it's
I'm happy to be proven wrong. And actually, I think if anything, him moving to Arsenal is such a stable group environment.
Exactly.
Where obviously he's got a few friends in the team and everything. We're probably only doing well. And there was obviously a very good player in there. He's a very good ball carrier. He's very good at getting in the box.
Mm.
If he can finally find the end product, he's obviously young. Like, I don't hate it. I just hate the fact that Chelsea have been enabled. And it's just given me the ick, essentially.
He's gone to a better team. He's gone to a better squad, which is essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it. I'm killing some time here. And I think he's gone into a better setup as well. That will work for his game. And kind of having someone who can carry the ball in the box, and he can put a decent pass in every now and then to the likes of players. You know, Rice is going to be bombing in the box. Odegaard's going to be. But Saka's going to be there. Jokeres or Havertz, whoever that may be. I think it makes sense as a signing. However, I do think we do need at least one more attacking side.
Question then. First game of the season, we're not going to talk about it, but this is a hypothetical question. You see starting out of Madueke on the left, are you annoyed?
No, definitely not annoyed. Well, I think Martinelli needs to get a kick up his arse anyway.
But then by signing a backup right winger, you're not doing that.
Exactly, which is my, that is my one, like, when I said, like, people were not, he's not a left winger, mm-hmm. that's what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm slightly confused about how Arsenal were going to use him. I think Arteta's...
He's also got tons of games.
There's so many games.
So many games.
And, you know, when Saka went down injured last year for 3 months or whatever it was, we really struggled because we didn't have anyone really perfect. We had Wanyama, bless him, who was great for us when he had his moments, but he was a 17, 18-year-old kid who'd just come onto the scene. So I think having someone like Madueke makes so much sense. Again, get it, 50 million, a lot of money. But I have a hot take with Madueke. We're gonna circle back to that in a bit. We'll come back to some hot take predictions in a bit. But I'm pretty excited about that. But yes.
And final signing?
Who am I forgetting?
Centre back.
Yes, young centre back for Seville, whose name
Valencia.
Is... Valencia, sorry. I can't even remember his name now.
Mosquera.
Don't know anything about him. I'm not even going to pretend like I do.
I think you've got a bargain.
I would say, from what I've seen, he's very well regarded in Spain.
One of the best young centre backs in the Liga last season.
Exactly.
Interest from lots of places. Yep. Interesting that you were able to convince him.
He really wanted Arsenal, apparently. Coming to learn.
Only wants someone.
It's one of the best lines you see. David Ornstein must be bored of that. Only wants Sunderland, apparently, if it ran a Xhaka. No one's ever said that in issue time.
One game under 10 hours is like, only one.
Get me to Sunderland. Anywhere is better than here right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, didn't know anything about him. Highly regarded from what I've seen. Coming in, it'd be really interesting because he's coming into our, you know, maybe the most established centre-back pairing in the league,
mm-hmm.
of Saliba and Gabriel, to now kind of signing...
Van Dijk, Konate.
I think as a pairing.
Yeah, okay.
I think, that's what I was going for.
I'm in a hating mood,
obviously. You disagree with everything I'm saying. But kind of, you know, two centre backs now entering their prime. And he's only a few years younger than Saliba, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be really, it'll be nice and depth as well. We've had like Tomiyasu leave, which I think is a real shame. But that's just injuries. He just hasn't been able to stay fit.
Mm-hmm.
When he's been fit, he's been great, but he's gone. He will be missed. Should have
Ben White back?
Ben White will be back, which would be great. I think we really missed him last year. Calafiore, please just stay fit, brother, and stop doing runway model walks or whatever you're doing.
He looks great.
Yeah, I
know. It's a fair play.
Yeah, we signed him for the kit releases and nothing.
Lewis Skelly. Team shaping up nicely.
I think we'll be better. We'll have a better squad on paper next year. I wouldn't be surprised. There's going to be some form of tactical shift, it feels like, for Arsenal this year.
Hit me. Who else are you signing?
I mean, Eze would be amazing.
Eze makes no sense. You're just about to sign Nanweri to a huge contract. How do you manage his expectations whilst also signing one of the best players in the league?
There is a way. When there's a will, there's a way. I don't think there's... I mean, it's not like we have that many options, kind of, especially floating. Because Eze can play down in the 10. And
So if you've got Eze and Odegaard in front of you, where is he playing?
What, who?
Nanweri.
Rotation player. He's not expected to start by any means, is he? He's still 18 or something.
No, but he will be expecting to get...
He will get minutes.
Considerable minutes.
But he's not going to be promised the world. No. He's signing his first full, proper professional contract.
Yeah.
Which is great and very exciting. And he looks like a very good player. And I want him to play. That being said, he's still going to have to... His minutes will be managed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I think more and more managers are doing these days. They aren't dumping the... Unless you're Lewis Skelly, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting dumped into the first squad and told to play 90 minutes for three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I get that he's going to be signing a new contract, but I think we still do need a more Prem-proven player. And Eze is exactly that. And he's 26, I think, turning 27 or something like that. 25, 20, I think he's 26. He is a win-now guy. He's in his prime. He's got however many years at this level. I think it would be an unbelievable signing, personally, Eze. We've shouted on Eze on this, well, shouted on Eze, but I remember for our England squad episode, we didn't include Eze in the squad.
It's funny now because I probably will put him in.
Hindsight is a funny thing.
Yeah.
You
score against Man City in an FA Cup final, all of a sudden I like you a bit more. So,
God, I do. We just love that Palace team, man. We are all secretly.
Sorry, I need to just quickly backtrack. Manchester United definitely should sign Jean-Philippe Mateta.
He's not going anywhere, is he? He's sticking around, man.
I don't know, man. I reckon if Crystal Palace get their appeal rejected and end up in the Conference League,
we haven't spoken about that. That's been a whole other thing.
There's so much football to talk about.
Football to talk.
But overall, Arsenal looking in good shape.
Looking in good shape. Not done yet.
Not done.
I don't think. I think there's plenty of room for improvement. Again, probably one more kind of front line option. Again, I think we need a left winger. I think you do too.
And then really, you just can't do much like more. I think once you got another left winger in there, I think you're pretty much there. Yeah.
And that's going to be us looking to... I mean, this is it. Oh, this season, isn't it?
Norgaard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a fun signing.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, you can't complain about that.
He looks great. He's like 31.
He's happy to be there. We see him crying, bless him. Yeah, I love that shit, man.
He only wanted Arsenal.
Yeah, he only wanted Arsenal.
He only wanted Arsenal.
No, I'm happy with that. Norgaard's a great signing.
Yeah, that's great. I think that might be clutch.
Yeah, it's 10 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah,
huge. You really just can't go wrong.
No, can't complain. That's Jorginho replacement.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think good window so far. Not quite done. 8 out of 10. Let's keep going. And then we go into the season wanting to win everything and needing to win something.
Huge.
Essentially.
Huge. We'll just go to the biggest other transfers very, very quickly. We'll start with, Liverpool and Hugo Ekitike?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to touch on Wirtz first? Because that's obviously kind of old news now, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, Wirtz.
Premier League record signing.
Huge numbers.
Florian Wirtz.
Yeah. It's crazy that they got him.
Yeah, I mean, what a signing though. He looks seriously good.
Yeah, I think he'll be good.
I think he'll be very good. Not really much to say on that. That hasn't probably already been said. He's going to be good.
Well done, Liverpool. You won the league and you've got that.
And they've spent so much money. They're going to be really good. But yeah, Ekitike is the more interesting one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Very interesting. So a bit of narrative. We love narrative.
We love a narrative.
Behind this one. So journalists revealed that Hugo Ekitike had agreed details with Newcastle over joining them on a long-term contract for it then to come out mere hours or literally a day later that Liverpool had approached Newcastle in signing Alexander Isak, someone who we've definitely not said on this podcast would definitely be leaving Newcastle at the end of the season, and we were refuted hard. And Newcastle obviously were like, Liverpool, leave us alone. He isn't going anywhere. I think Isak's head is very much...
He's thinking about it.
He's thinking about it. And then Liverpool like, that's fair. If you're not going to give us Isak, we'll just go take the next biggest target that Newcastle have lost this season. And we'll just go take him. And that's exactly what Liverpool have done. They have come in, swooped, and negotiated terms with Frankfurt on a...
70 mil?
Yeah, 70 mil. Yeah. Yep. I think all said and done, like, you know, looking about £85 million. It's a lot of money for someone...
Did I read this correctly? Does he have less career goals than Rasmus Højlund? Is that something I've seen?
I mean,
that can't be true.
That almost definitely is not true. But
I can't check this right now. Apologies, folks.
Like the signing, I probably have said this analogy on the pod him before, in that he reminds me if Joshua Zirkzee was really good. I think Joshua Zirkzee is good. I just don't think he's really good. And I think Ekitike is very good.
He's such that new brand of striker and just long and quick.
Yeah, he's like, he reminds me of Isak. He's very... And there was the beautiful day on Twitter where Newcastle fans thought that they were going to live in a world where they had both of them up front playing in like a 4-4-2. And then a day later it was ruined. And they still might lose Isak. Because if for whatever reason Darwin Nunez leaves for like 50 million, Liverpool can still spend like, I think I saw some maths that Liverpool is still able to spend like up to £150 million before they even sold Nunez. So I don't know, they must have got serious interest on this Coutinho money.
Yeah, this is crazy. Like, where the fuck? I mean, I guess they haven't spent any money, have they, the last 2 years?
You're talking about how Man U should sign Jamie Vardy on a free transfer, and Liverpool still have, after spending over
200-300 million, yeah.
And they can still, you know, and I think the Isak one is something that's really going to stretch.
Yeah, and right until the end of the transfer window.
Yeah.
I don't think he leaves yet.
I don't think he leaves, but I think it really...
So he's got 2 years left on his deal, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so then next year is 1 year left.
He's not going to sign a new contract.
He's not signing a new contract, is he?
And he will leave.
I think he goes abroad, probably.
Right? Oh, 100%. Yeah. Unless Barca find another... No, there's no way... You know what, they might. Newcastle would probably take less money on the basis than they'd sold them outside.
The thing is, though, if he goes to Real Madrid, where does he play? He doesn't play, does he?
He ain't going to either of them. The only other players would be Bayern Munich if Harry Kane a year older and they're looking. But Bayern Munich are looking at Nick Voldemort. And
yeah, well, Sané's just left of Sora, isn't he, as well?
Zach only goes to Liverpool in the world that I live in.
Oh.
And that's Man U in the league.
Oh, Man City.
No, Haaland, 10-year contract, it ain't happening. Awesome. They've got Marmoush, Arsenal.
We won't have the money.
You won't have the money. Chelsea's the only
other one. I swear to God.
If he decides to go to Chelsea.
Oh, that would ruin football for me.
Yeah, it would ruin. Just every time Chelsea sign a new player, football's ruined.
They've only signed 3 strikers this year, so you know what? They might sign another one.
Yeah, and who knows? But anyway, long story short, unlucky Newcastle fans, you've lost a Kadike and you still might lose Isak.
Yeah.
But at least you've got Dan Burn.
At least you have Dan Burn.
Other notable transfers you want to shout out?
Spurs, Kudus, 50 million. I've already said that. Thomas Frank as well, going to Spurs, is, I think, a great signing for Spurs.
It's the best appointment they could have made.
Yeah, I think so. It
would have been my choice for the Manchester United job when we sat Ten Hag.
Yeah. Makes so much sense. He's Arsenal's biggest fan before he signed for Spurs. I saw the other day in an interview, he slipped up and kind of praised Arsenal accidentally. And he had to apologise. I think he said something along the lines of, team's never losing. And he quoted, he said, Arsenal never lose. And
it's very Spursy.
It's very Spursy. But yeah, no, that's really good for them. Kudus for 50 million is a lot of money. I don't think he's great. I think he's a good player, don't get me wrong. Oh, you see that awful cringe video, actually, when he was getting his medical. Did you see that? The doctor, he was a video of him doing his medical, And the doctor went, I'm going to check your heart. And Kudus goes, you'll only hear Spurs. You just go, oh,
said
God.
No one ever.
Come on, mate. Let's relax.
Literally, if anyone else had gone in for him.
Oh, no. Let's all calm down, brother. That's a bit.
But
yeah, no, they got this guy. Champions League football's doing a lot heavy lifting.
Shout Pedro to Chelsea. He's really annoying.
Oh, yeah. Club World Cup. What a Chelsea. Don't care.
Yeah, well done, Chelsea. Don't care. It's a fake tournament. Yeah, it's a fake tournament. Enjoy all that new money you definitely didn't already need.
Yeah. God, yeah, that sucks, doesn't it?
Sunderland, shout out Sunderland, who are newly promoted, are making moves. They signed Simon Adingra from Brighton, which I like.
Yeah, great signing.
Evan Ferguson gone to Roma.
I haven't seen that. Actually. Yeah, is that confirmed?
He's gone loan with an with the option to buy.
Interesting. God, he was the guy about
2 years ago. He was a £100 million player. You know, these tacticos on Twitter would have you thinking,
yeah,
he's a £100 million player, and he almost tricked West Ham into buying. Yeah, flopped to West Ham, which
I'm just worried.
Flops to West Ham.
Everyone. No, strikers haven't been good in West Ham since. I mean, could he call Antonio in like 2016?
Ivan Tony.
No, Antonio.
Oh, I think you said Ivan Tony.
Ivan Tony.
I must have missed.
I haven't even thought about him this summer, actually.
Man, you should sign Ivan Tony. And you should. And any other transfers you think we should mention outside of Evan Ferguson to Roma?
No, those are all the kind of the big ones.
And more will be done. That is the beauty of transfer season.
Yep. Well, Man City obviously renders as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is very sensible.
To City is an incredible signing. He's top.
City are going to be back next year.
Yeah, City will be back.
Yeah.
I really hope they're not, but they probably will.
It's going to be
Rodri's back. Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to see Liverpool dropping off. I think Arsenal are going to be as good, or if not probably better than last season, I would say. City are going to be a lot better.
Chelsea will be better.
And then you've got
Manchester United, who will win the Premier League.
If you finish top half of the league, I think you should be happy. I think you'll be happy. All right. That's our transfer segment done. I'm sure we've missed a bunch, but those are kind of the main highlights anyway. As you've probably seen the title of this episode, we're going to drop some hot takes of the 25-26 Premier League season that we've kind of thought about, kind of pre-season views and kind of going into that. Taylor is a man who's full of hot takes and loves just stirring up some fandoms.
I love a hot take amnesty where I have complete and utter freedom to speak my truth.
Yeah.
And have no shame in doing so with no prejudgmental statistics behind me.
Yep.
I am going to speak my truth.
Yeah. No stats needed.
I'm going to start with my Manchester United hot takes, and then I think you'll do Arsenal, and then we'll do overall Premier League hot takes.
Okay.
So one of my hot takes for Manchester United is one of either Lenny Yoro or Aidan Heaven will be nominated for Young Player of the Premier League. And I actually don't even think that's a particularly hot take, so I think Lenny Yoro has a fantastic chance of doing so.
Okay, I disagree. Probably. First of all, the young player of the league thing is a bit of a mess anyway, isn't it? Because it's like anyone...
Phil Foden's still qualified.
Probably. Yeah. I think Cole Palmer won it last year. And like, it's, you know, whatever.
That's why I'm not saying winning. Because,
yeah, no, okay. Yeah. I think Yoro, for me, feels like the more likely one. Because I feel like he's probably going to play more minutes. And he has had his moments where he's looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Man United as a team in general are going to be so poor defensively.
No, I think we'll be fine defensively.
Why?
Because we've got Yoro and Evan. No, and we've also got Martinez, who's coming back. That's we've also true. Got Maguire, who's very fine at the central centre-back. De Ligt, yet to be fully... And also, we've still got Diego Dalo.
Allergic to crossing the ball.
Yeah, he's I watched the pre-season friendly against Leeds, and I can confirm he still cannot cross the ball. But he's now got the number 2, rather than 25, which... And he was captain in the second half, so even he's fully here to stay.
Yeah, good stuff.
To see it. And so hopefully he just keeps going.
Yeah.
Keeps high-fiving.
He does love a high-five. Yeah, disagree completely. I think also if you go into the season with Onana as your starting goalkeeper, you're still going to be leaking goals.
Well, one of my other hot takes is by the end of the season, Onana will no longer be Manchester United's number one.
I don't think that's a hot take, is it?
Yeah, because if we still don't sign a goalkeeper, I still don't think he'll be number one.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Who's going to be a backup?
Tom Heaton. I'm really, really banking that take on we sell Altay Bayındır to any Turkish thing that will take him. And we sign someone who is just somewhat competent and immediately outs Onana.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hot take though.
No, that's not particular. That was not my craziest hot take.
Yeah.
My next hot take is that Joshua Zirkzee is getting 10 goals, 10 assists.
I like that a lot, actually. I am a Zirkzee fan.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think now he looks really settled in the squad. Zirkzoid is back and he's looking chilling, he's illing.
I mean, 10 goals, 10 assists would be a very impressive haul. That would be a very impressive haul.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
That's a bit more of a fun one.
But I like it because I do like Xerxes and he does have something about him. I'd be interested to see where he plays though.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously now you have Cunha, you have Mbeumo, mm-hmm. and you might have another striker coming in. Does he play in the midfield too?
I think we start the season without a striker. We start with Rasmus Højlund.
Mm.
He gets displaced very quickly for one of Cunha or Mbeumo.
Mm.
And Xerxes fills in one of the 10s that he vacates.
Mm. Who would you rather play down the middle?
Out of Mbeumo or Cunha?
Probably Cunha, right?
Good question. I haven't really thought about it. Probably Cunha.
Because they're both not traditional strikers.
Foxy in the boxy, I think.
He's a bit more of a loose cannon,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, so I think...
He's a great player. Sorry, we're kind of treading on old ground. That's why I was kind of confused you guys signed him.
I don't know, we just needed quality, Premier League.
Which he is.
Yeah, which he is,
which makes sense.
So anyway, Xerxes, major season incoming. And another hot take I have for Manchester United is that Casemiro is top 3 players of the season. Final year of contract, Uncle Casemiro with one game a week.
Absolutely no chance.
Mate, there is no way that this man does not thrive.
There is so many ways this man does
not thrive. No.
Everything we've watched over the last 2 years would indicate this man, leave the football before the little... Leave the podcast before the podcast leaves you, Taylor. Because you've pissed me off. No, you've done.
This is what people thought. And actually, no, the football came back to Unk.
No,
it did. Towards the end of the season, he looked better. And he's come back. He's looking lean. One game a week. Uncle Casemiro in the final year of his contract. It's going to be scary.
No.
But everyone but Manchester United fans, I think we're going to really enjoy having him for the final year.
I think he'll be a very, very... fine player for you.
Nah, top 3. He's going to get really important goals. He's going to be huge. Just watch this space. These are hot takes.
If he's a top 3 player of the league, I say sorry.
Yeah, fair.
Stakes have never been higher.
That's huge.
Stakes have never been higher.
And then, so that's obviously going to happen. That's like, that's an extremely hot take.
That's ridiculous.
And then,
I love it though.
I think, I'll end where Manchester United, where I think Manchester United are going to finish.
I have nowhere near as many now.
No, okay.
I feel like I really haven't got enough.
It's okay. And then I'm going to end with, I think Manchester United are going to finish 3rd in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's probably the least unlikely out of all of them, isn't it? Or the most unlikely, should I say.
Well, everything I've just said, Yoro, Young Player of the Season nomination.
If they...
Casemiro. Imagine. And then Xerxes, 10 goals, 10 assists.
Is that with Amarin at the wheel as well?
Michael Carrick. So they're my hot takes for Manchester United.
Yeah, I think out of all of those, the one I like the most and agree with is the Xerxes one.
That's huge. Because, I'll be here for it.
Because I just like Xerxes and I think that's
cool, isn't it?
He is cool.
He's cool.
I think that'll be fun. I don't think there's any chance in hell you guys finish in the top seven. Casemiro will be not... He will be... crap.
No, he won't.
He will be crap.
One game a week.
He's just, he hasn't got the legs. I mean, the one game a week will help him, but I think he's not anywhere near what he once was, which is him in a Real Madrid shirt, that is. And then the rest of them are kind of nonsense, but I kind of enjoy them. They're kind of fun.
Thanks.
They are kind of fun.
That's what the hot take's all about.
Yeah.
No judgment.
I have forgotten a bunch of mine, which is good podcasting. My big one that I was going to bring to you, Madueke will finish this season with more goal involvements than Aubameyang.
I'll take a bet on that.
Yeah.
I'll take a bet on that.
What are we betting? Just do like 20 quid or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Madueke will suit Arsenal style better. And I think he'll...
I hope that doesn't happen.
Again, it'll be... I think he'll be pushing that double digit assist and goals. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes kind of again.
Leading with Zach.
I think he will be competing with Xerxes. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes against those mid-table, lower table teams.
Stat pad.
Where he has to kind of, you know, wingle through, break down defences, get the balls into the box. And I think with him, with Jokeres, with Saka, whoever it may be, I think he'll get a decent amount of numbers.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I feel that. Another hot take, which is kind of anti-Arsenal, which is one of my favourite things to be as an Arsenal fan. I think Jokeres will get 12 or less Premier League goals this season.
Oh, you definitely don't need him to. But I also...
I don't want this to happen. But something in my gut says he's not gonna. I think he's gonna be a really streaky player, which kind of happened. It's kind of Havertz as well, to be fair. When he's scoring, he seems to get
12 goals. Then
that's fine.
That's fine.
Again, I'm happy. I'll be fine with that. And I don't think 12 goals by any means is a complete disaster.
No.
But if you are spending 60 million odd euros on a striker, you do want him pushing 20 goals a season, if not comfortably hitting 25. I just think the first season, I think he's going to take a couple months to kind of adapt and heat up. I think he'll go through streaks of scoring, streaks of not scoring, and I think he won't necessarily be guaranteed a space as the number nine for Arsenal as well. So I don't think he's going to be playing all the minutes with the likes of Havertz there as well. And the other options we kind of have, Trossard, I don't know, whatever it may be. I don't think he's going to get. I don't think he's going to do that.
Okay. I like it.
Next hot take, which is going to be, it's an anti Chelsea one, so everyone can get on board with this. Chelsea finish outside the top four.
Nah, you're going into your Prem ones.
I think so. I don't think this is necessarily an outrageous take, but I do think people are. I mean, understandably as well, people do think Chelsea are going to be pushing kind of more for title this season based on
a fake tournament
that they've had, some of the signings they've made. But I think you look at kind of Maresca's kind of track record, it seems that even when he went into Leicester as well, start the season really strong, and he's always seemed to have that dip kind of around Christmas time. And I still think if Cole Palmer has a similar kind of dip that he did last season, which he's going to be playing a lot of minutes again. If he gets injured, he's going to be a big miss. I understand that they do still have a lot of quality players. I think Caicedo's huge, though. He's unbelievable, but he's not going to be...
You're not selling it to me.
Sound good. I just think João Pedro is going to be a really streaky player as well. I don't know who's going to start as a nine for them. It's not going to be Nicholas Jackson day one.
I'm pretty happy that Liam Delap decided to pick somewhere where they immediately sign another striker immediately.
I bet he's pissed off. He's pissed off about that.
Yeah.
But I think they finished outside the top four.
I like it. Yeah. I disagree with it, but I like it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I think it's definitely a hot take, and it's kind of maybe a bit more hope than it is based on fact.
Just to round back on your Arsenal opinions, your Arsenal finishing in the Premier League.
First.
I like it.
We're winning the league. We are winning the league. We need to. Fuck.
Oh, you definitely deserve.
Another hot take. Arsenal don't need to win a trophy because they've already won my heart.
That is the worst thing I've ever
heard. We do need a trophy.
Phase 9 Arteta. Arteta's winning Cormac's heart.
Yeah, god damn, phase 9 Arteta. Yeah, I do have faith that this is the year. I think I said that last two seasons. But signings we made this year have been...
I think
it is as well. I think Liverpool are going to be better. I think Man City are going to be better. And again, unfortunately, I think Chelsea are going to be better. I think it's going to be really difficult. But I do still think we are the most settled squad. And we play the best football. Winning football.
I disagree with you.
Yeah, definitely I do as well. I trust Arteta. I think this is the year.
Okay.
Could be close though. I'm very excited for the season.
Everyone's so strong and I'm really worried for this season.
Yeah.
Although I just said we'd finish third, I'm rattling through every other team in my head and I'm like, gosh, Newcastle, strong.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Newcastle as well. Yeah. Oh, it's because Isak's leaving, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hot take, Isak's left. I'm going to go for a Premier League hot take. I'm going to say that West Ham get relegated.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. I think one of the three.
Do you think? I mean, Sunderland, like I said, they've made some interesting moves.
I think Sunderland will get relegated. I think it's more likely to be a Leeds, someone who's managed to come up in recent memory and stay up, because there's a bit more behind that. Although, is their manager Daniel Farke? Mm-hmm. That stinks. They got down.
Yeah, so going down.
But they're going to replace him very soon in the
with
season.
Michael Carrick.
With Michael,
he's worked two jobs in the Premier League: yeah. Man United and Leeds manager.
Oh, God, that. Just never happened in any world ever. And yeah, I think one of the three relegated teams will stay up, and I think West Ham are going down.
I think West Ham are going to be really shit again this year. I think they're really going to struggle. Graham Potter, I was one of his biggest fans in the world once upon a time, and it turns out he's just struggled, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really struggled.
Yeah. Man's lost all aura.
All source.
Oh, it's just all source.
He's
all,
really struggled.
It's all gone
since that Chelsea move, and West Ham was so bad last year.
Okay, cool, Matt. Tell me. What Premier League team that had a good season last year is having a dreadful one this year? Someone's got to do it.
I don't know if dreadful's fair. I think Newcastle will be good, but I think they'll struggle again with Champions League football in terms of the balance.
Mm-hmm.
I do like you Newcastle fans. I do like Newcastle. I don't think they finish top four. I think they're probably going to finish around that 7th or 6th
interesting.
Bracket again. I think just the kind of... The Champions League football of it all, I think, will be a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, could completely be wrong, mm-hmm. which is such a boring and safe thing to say at the end, so I take it back.
During
I'm 100% going to be right. I don't think Newcastle will finish in the top four. Again, not a crazy hot take.
My other crazy hot take is Manchester City will be found not guilty for all their charges, and the uproar will be immense. Because it is now July and there's been no
further... Was it March we were told we were going to get?
We're going to hear some kind of hearing. And it's important to forget that Manchester City have been charged with so many things. And we have radio silence from the Premier League regarding this. And
there's no way in hell they get found guilty, is there?
There's no way. Because if they would have been found guilty, this would have been said a long time ago.
Absolutely.
And now they're trying to figure out a narrative where they can really put this to the public and be like... Found them not guilty.
Yeah, they're getting away with absolutely.
Yep, they're getting away. And that's a horrible hot take that I have to make.
It's true, though. Mm-hmm. It's which really sucks. Really, really sucks. Right, any more hot takes on top of your dome right now?
I think I've hit so many hot takes.
Yeah, I've hit a lot there. A lot more than me. It might have been lukewarm at best, I think. That Madueke one's going to be interesting. Madueke, Guillermo.
That's going to be a good one.
Similar prize players, both kind of big moves from small clubs to big clubs. Huge. You know, so take that, Chelsea. Yeah, I think that's it. Anything else you want to hit kind of Premier League-wise?
Premier League-wise, we're going to have so much time. We are back now. We are...
I'd say we've been away. It's been a weird kind of off-season and stuff. We want to keep doing it. We want to keep doing episodes.
Pre-season has now started. All the squads are out and about doing their things. Transfers keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really interesting to see how everything develops.
Yeah.
I think for this episode, just... Bring it back in, get everyone hyped for the new season. No excitement, this is the best time of the year.
You know what's a good way to get people excited for the next season, Taylor? We have started a fantasy football league, which any of you can join. Again, if we get 10 people, I'll be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a bit of a laugh. I think most of you probably do fantasy football in any most seasons anyway. Might as well join this league.
And we're upping the ante because whoever wins the fantasy football league will be getting a random shirt giveaway. So
not football shirt, just random shirt.
Random shirt.
Just random shirt.
Probably most likely will be a football shirt. But the winner of the Red and White Chalkboard Fantasy League will be receiving a random football shirt.
And the winner also will get a special guest on an episode.
Boom. Unless you live really far away.
Unless you live miles away, in which case we're not flying you out. And you can fly yourself out. But that's priceless, really, actually.
And that is priceless.
That is priceless. Not many will get that kind of pleasure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been, I think, another great episode. Pretty much just under an hour. Nice. Smash that.
And just by the way, we'll put the code in the...
All the stuff for that will be in the description below, as well as all our other socials and what have you. Quick apology. Don't know how the audio is going to sound on this. For those keen-eyed around you, you notice we are still holding our spatulas, but they don't have mics on them because our mics have gone missing. And I know exactly where they are, but I'm being lazy and I haven't found them. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast. It's been a pleasure. Like you said, these are going to be more frequent once again, and we're very excited to carry this on. This has been great fun. Taylor, thank you very much for having me
here. Thank you very much, Cormac.
And we'll catch you guys again probably next week.
See you soon.
Oh, it's so much fun. Oh, that was such a good one.